This is SQPN, the StarQuest Production Network, leading the way.
This episode of The Secrets of the Hobbit is brought to you by Bluehost. Start your own blog or website in minutes for the very low price of just $6.95 per month. Bluehost makes it really easy. One-click installation of a blog, your own .com domain name, no worries about bandwidth. Go to sqpn.com/bluehost for more information. And by the Amazon store. Click on the link on our website before you shop at Amazon, and your purchase will help support our show.
SQPN.com presents The Secrets of the Hobbit.
There and back again. A Hobbit's Tale by Bilbo Baggins. Where to begin?
Welcome to the special summer series of The Secrets of the Hobbit. It is summertime. The sun is shining, at least if you're in our part of the world. Of course, if you live in Australia or New Zealand, the weather might be a little bit colder. There's nothing that we can do about that. But we can offer you, hopefully, some entertainment and information concerning hobbits. And so we're going to do slightly shorter episodes because I will actually be out of town for a while on vacation, but we wanted to provide you with your weekly fix of Hobbit related news and speculation, and so we are going to pre-record a couple of episodes, and this is the first one, and then hopefully we'll be able to offer you two more. And so we will be unable to cover the news coming out of Comic-Con. Of course, that's going to be big because, and we might talk about this when we discuss the news, we know that Peter Jackson has prepared, well, some surprises for Comic-Con. It's going to be, I think, big, but we will cover that as soon as I'm back from my vacation. So joining me, as always, is Dave Kill. Hey, Dave.
How's it going, Father Roderick? How was your trip?
It's good. I just came back from a couple of days of television work in Rome. It was very hot there, so I'm really happy to be back in the somewhat colder Holland, but it's still summertime.
Did the city empty out? That's what I remember about. I went on a trip there during the summer, and I remember people talking about the fact that basically they just all left the city and fled out to cooler parts of the hills.
It does, although summer holiday has not started yet in Italy, so people, I really pity them.
Suffering.
They still have to go to work. so the buses are full of very tired and hot-looking people, and then hot in the terms of temperature. So, let's get going with our first summer episode and look at the news, because I think we've got plenty of stuff to cover.
Get down. Confound it all, Samwise Gamgee! Have you been eavesdropping?
I haven't dropped no eaves, sir, honest.
What did you hear? Speak!
Nothing important. Please, Mr. Gandalf, sir, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me in anything unnatural.
Now, Dave, the latest news that I saw was actually breaking news on our own Twitter feed, and it was a retweet of something that was posted by Middle Earth Minutes, which is, of course, a great podcast, a fellow podcast, and also a great source of news and information about The Hobbit. And the news said that the release date of The Hobbit in the UK had been changed or postponed. Have you read anything about that?
I did see that. It's kind of bizarre. I remember we discussed this a few weeks ago, and I guess I'd forgotten. But the release date for the UK was like January 14th, just something that was like absurdly late. And now it's like the 26th of December.
Oh, good. So it's going to be more aligned with the other international releases. It's mm-hmm. probably a very smart move. I don't know why they put it in January in the
wrong.
First place.
So it's actually been pushed backward the other direction. I thought it was January 14th. I think it was originally December 14th, and now it's December 26th. So I had that wrong.
Oh.
So it just got 2 weeks later.
Oh, later. Okay.
So we were just saying like, well, that was why are they having it? That there are some really, you know, here I'll pull up the IMDb page. Mm-hmm. remind ourselves what the layout is. But there are some, there were some absurdly late ones. Like, well, there aren't any in January. Where was the UK? I have to find our old show notes to remember where it was originally when we discussed that. But yeah, it's interesting that they're rolling these out over like a 2 week period. It's quite like, I don't understand why that is. Oh, here we go. All right. Originally UK was December 14th. So there we go. So nobody, Argentina was the one that was in January. They're the ones that have it.
Like, right.
So the UK just got pushed back 2 weeks.
Interesting.
That's a bummer.
And this is right after Christmas, which is probably in the midst of, I suppose, Christmas holiday. And I assume that everybody has, you know, some time off. And so it might be more beneficial for them to put in it, to do the premiere that week, because it gets all the coverage without, you know, the whole Christmas stuff dominating the news.
Mm-hmm.
And so yeah, it might just be a matter of marketing and finding the best time window for the UK. But of course, it's kind of it's a bummer if you are a fan and you have to wait for it for 2 weeks, two more weeks. I remember those days from Star Wars where the Phantom Menace would premiere actually months after the American premiere. And it's like, why would they do that? Now, at the time, the internet wasn't as big as it was today. But now, if as soon as there's a delay, people will actually start looking around on the BitTorrent and try to find, you know, illegal copies of this. Of course, that will never really get anywhere near the real, you know, quality of the actual release. And I don't think that any Hobbit Tolkien fan that takes himself or herself seriously will actually care for, you know, watching a jittery, low quality pirate copy of the movie, because it's going to be terrible. You want your Hobbit experience to be, you know, as the best quality that you can afford. But still, there will be people that I think it's just a bad idea overall. It will just, you know, incentivize the pirates to go and try to tape this movie and redistribute it digitally.
Yep. Yeah, this 2 week rollout is just baffles me. This would really encourage piracy. I don't understand. Mm-hmm. And why torture the overseas European fans and make them wait so long?
Well, and then there's of course the problem with the spoilers. Even though we know the overall story, there's still, and I mean that's part of the fun of doing this podcast, is to speculate about all the things that we will be added or changed or enhanced in this movie. And if you leave a gap of 2 weeks between the USA premiere and then, you know, parts of Europe, then it's going to be all over the internet, and so the experience will be degraded if you've already read those spoilers and you know exactly what to expect. I think part of the excitement, at least that I feel of watching The Hobbit, the first movie, is that you don't know exactly if, you know, all the stuff that we talked about during our Riddles in the Dark segments, if that is going to happen the way I predicted it, or whether you are going to be right, or the Tolkien professor. I mean, I am looking forward to seeing that with my own eyes and being surprised and stunned and wowed in the theater. And if all that news already leaks out after the USA premiere, it's going to be too... I probably need to build myself a hobbit hole and hide for 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's right. I know that's going to be the most disappointing part. Like all this speculation, it's going to be almost impossible to, if you don't go watch it, you know, the very moment it's released, it's going to be impossible not to be spoiled by it.
Yes.
So I think we're going to have to come up with some kind of arrangement, at least for the Riddles in the Dark prediction game, some kind of moratorium on pronouncements of, oh, I got it right and you got it wrong until everybody's gotten to see it.
Well, the Argentinian Tolkien fans are lucky because their date has also been moved. However, it's been moved back. So it was supposed to premiere in I think, on the 1st of January, beginning of the new year, and it has been moved back to forward to the 13th of December. So now they get to see it together with the Americans and I suppose the Kiwis as well.
So fans on the websites, at least, are frustrated. And I wonder what this will mean for my country, the Netherlands, if this is a European thing or not. I don't see any information about that. But I guess if it is, I will have no choice but to take the plane to New Zealand and watch it there. I'm just warning y'all.
No choice.
Now I'm looking at the list for The Hobbit: An Unexpected Journey, and most of the dates that I see here are still December. Good. The Netherlands still scheduled for December 13th. Belgium, our neighboring country, actually gets to see it a day earlier. And of course, New Zealand is going to be the 28th of November. That's going to be the world premiere. So that's another whopping, that's another whopping 2 weeks before anyone else. But I have no problem with that. After all, without New Zealand, we wouldn't have the same movie. So good for them. I just hope that they won't spoil it for all of us. And then, it's all like 12th, 13th of December, 14th of December. Even the overall premiere in New Zealand, so not the world premiere, but the rest of the country, will see this on December 14th. And let's see, it's Russia, Ukraine, Brazil, Colombia. They all get to see it a week later, so it's going to be 20th December, 21st, 25th. And then Australia, Australia, the 26th of December. Mm-hmm. Now that is cruel. Iceland, yep. UK, and Poland. So if you're an Aussie or you're a Brit, you're kind of relegated to the end of the line there, together with Colombia and Iceland and Poland. Now those are really okay countries, but come on, what's going on? Those Aussies must really be frustrated, especially because that movie has been made like right across the pond.
Yeah, I guess they figure that they should just go over to New Zealand to watch it. Maybe they're trying to help the New Zealand film industry.
I guess so. It's going to be very good for airline companies. They're going to sell a lot of tickets, I think. But it has to be because of the holidays around Christmas and potentially, they want to make a splash, of course, at the box office. And so if everybody is able to go see this movie in the week after Christmas. And there might actually be other releases, big budget releases in those countries that are now, bumped up to or backwards to the end of December.
It's true. I wonder if they're trying to avoid conflicting with other things.
Could very well be. I mean, if there's another big blockbuster movie that comes out in exactly the same week, it will steal part of your exposure and possibly also box office income. So they will have their reasons. It would be nice if they would tell the fans because, I don't blame them for being upset. There's been so much anticipation for these movies. Anyway, we'll keep a close eye on these developments, and as soon as we know more about why this happened and what you can do as a fan if you're in one of those, poor countries that have to wait all the way till the 26th of December, if we find out about any preview screenings, we'll let you know here, right here on the podcast. What other news do we have?
Well, I think the other sort of breaking news that has the internet abuzz is the fact that Peter Jackson announced on his Facebook page that they have officially wrapped.
It's
like,
over?
This is like the biggest news this week, probably.
Oh, boy. So how long have they been filming in total?
266 days total.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yep.
Although a lot shorter than with the trilogy.
Yeah, actually it is a lot shorter. It's less than a year. The trilogy, I think, was over a year, right?
Yeah, and then all the reshoots that they have to do. Now, they already announced, and we discussed this last week as well, that there will actually be, almost certainly, there will be reshoots in 2013. I think they even did a casting call for extras to be available next year. So there is still some hope for people that want to get into The Hobbit, but it'll most likely be for the second movie. I don't think that they will need to reshoot the key scenes. I imagine that they've managed to film all that. Possibly just some green screen stuff with the main actors, if you know, for some reason they decide to kind of change the composition of a scene or something, or add some lines of dialogue.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But they've been so well prepared. After all, this film has been in the making for many, many years, so the preparation for this movie has been so good that I think that it's probably the most efficient thing that that Peter Jackson has ever done before, compared to, you know, King Kong and then all the other movies that he did. This seems to have been a very, very smooth production.
Yeah, I think they really had it down to an art this time around. It has seemed very smooth and seemed like they totally knew what they were doing. They knew all the location. I mean, I guess with Lord of the Rings, they had to figure it out as they go and do a lot of location scouting. And this time they probably had a much better idea going in where they wanted to go. I'm sure they still had to do some scouting, but they probably had a much more complete list and a plan for visiting them. Whereas I think with Lord of the Rings, they really had to kind of, you know, in fact, deciding to go to New Zealand was probably one of the decisions they had to make, whereas this time it was just no-brainer.
Now, on the DVDs for and the Blu-rays for The Lord of the Rings, we've seen the extras, the extra material that showed the last scene that was filmed, where Peter Jackson just had Frodo doing one scene over and over and over again. And it was just clear that everybody was choked up, and it was just he didn't want to let go. He didn't want that to end. At the time, he thought that that actually would be the last time that he would be involved in, you know, a Tolkien story, and so it was very emotional, and it was almost impossible to not, you know, be emotional when watching that.
Mm-hmm.
Do we know what the last scene was? How they wrapped this up? Or
I don't think we know that yet, because it's minimal information. So basically, here I'll read you Peter Jackson's note on his Facebook page. He mm-hmm. said, "We made it. Shoot day 266 and the end of principal photography on The Hobbit. Thanks to our fantastic cast and crew for getting us this far, and to all of you for your support. Next stop, The Cutting Room, oh, and Comic-Con. Cheers,
oh.
Peter J." So he's standing in front of what looks like the Mirkwood set that we've seen before. There's a bunch of – he posted a photo with this, by the way.
Oh, cool.
And it's – let's see. Slate 305 7F take one.
Right.
I'm trying to see what else we can get out of this. Roll number D1630.
Mm-hmm.
So he's standing – he's holding the slate in front of his face.
Yeah, the date is, by the way, July the 6th, 2012.
Yeah.
So that is indeed just it's yesterday.
Yep.
Or actually, it's today, right?
Yeah, it's technically today.
Wow. Well, when we're recording this, of course, you might be listening to this a couple of days later. But of course, the day is already over in New Zealand. Actually, the new day has already started when we're recording this. So amazing.
Yep. And it looks like he's standing in front of the Mirkwood set. It's the large trees and stuff that we've seen in previous scenes,
yes,
where we look like it was Mirkwood.
There's a
bit of the green screen in the
green
background.
Screen, indeed. There's a wind machine, one of those huge fans. That
thing's awesome.
Yeah, it's a very classic device. I think they've been using these propeller type fans ever since the beginning of movie making. And then there is something that looks like, I wonder if that is a building that is part of the set, or if it's something that's part of the hall where they're building the set. What do you think? There's this gray background?
Yeah, I don't know. It looks like it's just, is that part of the set, or is that just like the wall of a warehouse? It could be just the wall of the building that they're in, maybe.
Could be, although I'm wondering, it looks very smooth and very, I don't know, it's just well lit. You'd think that if this was actually part of the building where they're setting up this set, they would leave some space between the green screen and those, you know, these set pieces, and then the outer wall of the building, if only for technology and for people to walk there. And so I wouldn't be surprised if this were a building that is part of the set. I don't know what, but could be. I don't know. It looks awfully kind of modern.
It does look a bit, yeah, it looks a little modern. That's why I was is postulating that it's part of like the warehouse that they're in, or the set or the studio or the building. But it could potentially be that sort of that strange, like, it could be like the Radagast the Brown house that we've seen before that looks kind of like a weird sort of old mansion. Because it did have a little bit of that grayish color. So
Interesting. But, yeah, it's a weird photo. I mean, he's holding that thing in front of his face, so you only see his eyes. And he looks a bit mysterious there. But I think this seems to indicate that the final scene is going to be one in Mirkwood. So, of course, everything is filmed out of order, out of sequence. So this could very well be a scene from the first movie, and actually, you know, Slate 305 could be something of towards the end of the movie. I don't know how many slates they must use a lot of slates. Every slate is probably one scene, right? Or one take.
I don't know how that works. I have no clue.
But 305, that doesn't sound like a big number to me. So it's probably something from the first movie. Anyway, we're hyper-speculating right now.
the slate number corresponds to where in the film it is, the order of the shots.
I guess so.
Okay, interesting.
Oh, well. Let's discuss the rest of his Facebook message, because, of course, next up, the cutting room. That's where all the editing takes place. And we know what that looks like. There's usually a couch near the wall, and then the editor is sitting in front of usually an Avid set. Avid is a software that it's kind of the standard software in the movie industry, with a couple of screens, and he will be doing all the handiwork of making sure that all these pieces of film and audio are patched together. But then the director usually sits in the back and gives literally directions to the editors, like, I want this shot, or make this one shorter or longer, or try, you know, let's put this one first and that one then. And then the editor just does exactly what he's been told and comes up with suggestions. Of course, a good editor has a very important role in the process, because an editor looks at stuff from a different angle and is often not involved in the shooting. And so as a director, you might have scenes that you've worked so hard on and put so much energy in. And so you might get attached to what they call your darlings in the movie industry. And you need actually that more objective second opinion of an editor to say, well, I know how much effort you put in this scene, and still it doesn't work. We need to throw it away. And those are very, very hard discussions.
Yeah, I have a feeling that it's probably particularly hard on a movie like this where it's not just the film that Peter – I mean, I think he's probably more attached to this film than directors normally would be.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Since it's really just been his baby, all these films have been. And it's based on like source material that he and other people love so much. Furthermore, he knows that if he cuts particular scenes out, he's going to get destroyed on the internet.
But they will have to, even though this movie has probably been storyboarded in a very detailed way, and we've seen glimpses of that in the production videos, where you see these walls covered in sketches, basically, of what all the scenes are going to look like. And since this is a special effects heavy movie, you almost have to do that. And not only will they use sketches, but they will do even pre-visualizations with computer generated characters to show how the camera will move, how the people will move. Very, very important if you work with second unit sets and everything, so that the pace of the movie is already kind of preconceived. The schedule is so tight that they probably can't afford to make all the important decisions in these final months, because we're talking a few months that are left to wrap this thing up. So wrap this thing up. But I do believe that the cutting room stage is very important to get to fine tune the movie. And it's still no matter how much you plan, there are going to be difficult things that you have to cut out just because of the length or the, you know, once you put the pieces together, only then. It's like when you're cooking in the kitchen. You might have a recipe and you might follow it to the letter, and yet when you taste it, it's like, it needs a little bit more salt, or I need to dilute it a little bit more or add some ingredients. There's always this fine-tuning that is essential for the overall balance of the movie, and I think that is... It's an exciting process, but also a very difficult one. So it's gonna be tough. And then, of course, he's gearing up for all the PR and promotion. So let's talk about Comic-Con, because that's coming up very soon. Isn't it in the 13th of July? That's a Friday. I know that there's
an event.
That is right.
It's basically next week.
Holy moly! And I think, what do you know about what are they gonna do at Comic-Con?
So let's see. Let me pull up the little some of the blurbs that we've seen. The best information about what's going on there has been at theonering.net.
Mm-hmm.
Since they're going to be there, they're investing a lot of time in finding what content there is or creating content. The main sort of – in terms of official stuff from Peter Jackson and those guys is that there's a Warner Brothers sort of three-hour block of time.
Yes.
Reserved in the 6,500-seat Hall H on Saturday, July 14th, so a week from tomorrow. And that's basically where all of that's where they're going to have a panel. There's supposed to be there's all these famous people who are supposedly going to be there, Peter Jackson – Martin Freeman, Richard Armitage, a lot of those guys are supposedly going to be there, and they're going to be doing a panel on the 14th that Saturday, somewhere in this three-hour block. I don't think they will be doing the whole 3 hours because mm-hmm. I think Warner Brothers is doing several properties during it, but yeah, that's going to be the main chance to go see them. Oh, by the way, I totally forgot, but tomorrow, which is – or not tomorrow, but right now, this very day, since New Zealand is a day ahead of us, they are doing the wrap party.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Yes. Yeah, just a brief interruption. But yeah, so there's going to be this – that's going to be the main attraction, I think, for Hobbit fans. The panel, which will include Peter Jackson and – I think Philippa and then some of the main actors will be on Saturday, July 14th during this 3 hour block. Don't know how much time they'll dedicate to it. I'm sure The Hobbit will be like the main thing that they do during that.
Philippa Boyens is there, but also Sir Ian McKellen is going to be there, and Martin Freeman,
yes,
Andy
course,
Serkis,
right.
Richard Armitage. So they're all going to give a preview. And I think we discussed this last week as well. Even Guillermo del Toro will be there, who was, of course, scheduled to be the director before he had to bail out because of all the delays. I think that would be exciting for him as well to see how it actually turned out. And he might have had – actually, I think he was already planning this whole movie, had all sorts of work already done in pre-production. And so for him, it's going to be very exciting. I'd love to hear an interview with him. And hear his take on what Peter Jackson actually did with what was supposed to be his movie.
Yeah, it was going to be his movie originally. Good point. Yeah,
it's probably all going to be very, very complimentary and positive. never done it this well. And Peter Jackson's such a nice fellow.
Yes. In terms of other stuff, Wondering.net is doing their annual panel, which is going to be held Thursday, July 12th, at the very beginning. So that's the first day of Comic-Con is Thursday. And in room 60E, which holds about 1,000 people, the Wondering.net will be doing a panel, and they'll be talking about The Hobbit. And they say that there's only room for 1,000 people in there, so that could actually be that could fill up, so there may be people who can't get in. So that should be an interesting and fun show. Apparently there's going to be 6 OneRing.net staffers there, which is the most they've ever had. They said they've invited special guests And of the panelists, at least two of them have visited the Hobbit set, so I'm sure they'll be offering a lot of interesting thoughts. So nice. Probably a lot of cool news will come out of that panel as well. Obviously, again, the centerpiece will be the Warner Brothers panels and yes. presentations, but the OneRing.net one should be pretty good too.
And I'm pretty sure that there will be plenty of surprises. Remember last year, Peter Jackson's mm-hmm. appearance at Comic-Con was a total surprise. Nobody knew that he was coming, and Steven Spielberg brought him up on stage because the two of them were collaborating in Tintin.
Yep.
And they had some like exclusive 3D footage, which wowed everyone. And so I wouldn't be surprised. I think that they're going to show a second trailer in 3D, at least a second trailer, probably more.
Yep.
If only to kind of repair a little bit of the PR damage that was done with the pre-screening of the 48 frames per second footage.
Yep. So there will be, let's see, the whole week begins on July 11th, which is Wednesday, with a preview night. I'm guessing that's where they preview films and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. There aren't any panels or anything that day, but there are a bunch of booths in the convention hall. Warner Brothers has one, number 4545. Weta will be there, number 3513B, so 3513B. Weta will be there, and I think that's where there'll be some OneRing.net staffers there. Lego will be there promoting the new Lego Lord of the Rings 3D game.
Oh, cool.
I think I'm guessing that included in Warner Brothers will also be Warner Brothers Interactive, and they'll be doing I think they will have on hand the two new games coming out this year for people to play, which is Guardians of Middle Earth and Lego the Lord of the Rings 3D. So that's exciting. It's a lot
Absolutely.
Of interesting stuff going on there.
Yeah, I just found some more tidbits about what Peter Jackson actually might do during Comic-Con. This
oh,
is
yeah?
on a website called the Irish Central. Entertainment Weekly reports that the preview will include – so the preview for The Hobbit will include exclusive images, on-set scoops from the two movies. From the two movies. Isn't that amazing?
We might
get a scoop from, you know, the dragon, I'm thinking. An interview with Martin Freeman, Sir Ian McKellen, and the director Peter Jackson. Let's see. Oh, it even has the Irish element to these movies comes in the form of James Nesbitt and Aidan Turner, who play Beaufort and Keeley, respectively. Of course, this is the Irish Central website. Let's see if there's anything else. Jackson explains... that in the movie we want these characters, and he's talking about Legolas and Galadriel and Toriel, we want these characters to have storylines and a little more substance than they do have in the book. Almost everything we're doing is from Tolkien somewhere, whether it's in the book or the subsequent development that wasn't published in The Hobbit itself, according to Peter Jackson. So that's interesting too. And it's something that we've speculated about in the past. It's like even the lines, and they did this for the original trilogy as well, to expand the scenes between Aragorn and the other elf. No. My brain is in fictitious
Arwen
mode. And
or
Arwen,
Legolas?
I think even for Arwen, they gave her some lines that were actually from the Silmarillion that were from other characters. And so they try to at least reuse stuff that Tolkien wrote for, you know, for other
mm-hmm.
stories.
Yep.
And to make sure that it's all kind of in the same vein as if Tolkien could have written it himself. And I'm glad to read that they are actually going to do that for The Hobbit as well.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, what about us wrapping up this first episode of the summer series of The Secrets of the Hobbit? And because we want to keep these a little bit shorter than normal so that we also have some stuff left to talk about in next week's episode. So Again, this will be probably a three-parter of summer episodes, and then as soon as I'm back from vacation, we'll find a moment to evaluate everything that happened at Comic-Con, and I know that it's going to be exciting. So hopefully that will give us a lot of new fuel for our podcast. In the meantime, of course, you can follow us on Twitter, and our Twitter account is Hobbit Podcast. And we have a website that you can find at thehobbit.sqpn.com. And if you go to the main website of sqpn.com, you can find plenty of other shows to keep you busy in these during these summer holidays. I do a weekly show called The Break that you can find at thebreak.sqpn.com, with movie reviews and just anything that I'm passionate about is in that show. And except for The Hobbit, because I keep that for this show. And Dave, what can you tell me about Middle Earth Network and their radio station? Doing any special things?
We syndicate the show on Middle Earth Network Radio, which you can hear at radio.mymiddleearth.com. And there's a lot of other really awesome, like, original content about Tolkien and the world of Middle Earth and other fantasy worlds and properties. So go to radio.mymiddleearth.com. And I of course have another podcast, Riddles in the Dark, that I do with the Tolkien Professor, and you can find that at mythgard.org, and follow me on Twitter, Dave Kale.
And if people have never listened to Middle Earth Radio, what kind of stuff can they expect to hear if they tune in?
Well, a lot of there's shows like this that are focused on various news things, and you know, because there's a lot of excitement about The Hobbit. There's a lot of stuff about gaming these days, because a lot of people play Lord of the Rings online, are very interested in that those kinds of that content and experiencing Tolkien's world through Lord of the Rings online, but also other online, you know, fantasy and sci-fi games, things like Diablo 3 is a popular one right now.
Oh, nice.
So there's a lot of good gaming content. On the site itself, you can find there's an interesting community of artists growing there. Folks who engaged in things ranging from, you know, both artwork and painting and drawing to making music to, you know, and there's a lot of indie bands there, to weaponsmithing.
Really?
Just last week they were doing live video streaming from a blacksmithing meeting in Alaska.
How cool
Arctic
is that?
Fire. Yes.
So can I have my own sting or my own sword?
I think you could.
How awesome would that? That would probably never pass customs, though. I'd like to have my own sword, my own orc dagger or something like that. All right, lots of fun stuff to find online. Go check it out at My Middle Earth Radio. And we will be back soon with another summer episode of The Secrets of the Hobbit. Thanks for listening.
SQPN, leading the way in Catholic new media.